Hello everyone, Shannon Gates here, getting you ready for my episode 14 podcast with Luke Toki for Survivor New Zealand Thailand. Just a small disclaimer that Luke does swear sometimes, so if you're offended by that or if you're listening with little kids or anything, just a fair warning that listener discretion is advised. Otherwise, it's a lot of fun, so I hope you listen and I hope you enjoy. Hello everyone and welcome to RITP's coverage of Survivor New Zealand Thailand. I'm your host Shannon Gates, here to talk about episode 14 of the season, and wow, what an episode it was. Absolutely packed and what I would call a historic episode. So many first time things that we saw in this episode from Survivor at large, so that was super exciting. But to talk about an amazing episode, I had to bring on an even more amazing guest, and I think I've delivered. I brought on someone who is personally my all-time favorite Survivor contestant, and he's the breakout star of Australian Survivor Season 2, and he's the king of the jungle. So please join me in welcoming Luke Toki. Luke, how you doing?
What's up, motherfucker? I'm doing good.
Luke, thanks so much for joining me. What an intro from you.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk New Zealand Survivor, baby.
Okay, well, we have to talk about New Zealand Survivor. It was an awesome episode. And before we do that, though, let's check in with you. We last heard from you on RHAP when you came off your season. You talked to Nick about your whole season. What have you been up to since then?
The Hollywood lifestyle is it's hard coming out of the game and still being at the top. Now, look, what I've just been back with the family. I'm trying to train and, yeah, just back to norm, you know what I mean? Like, everyone comes off the show and you just kind of go back to what you were doing before, you know, unless you, I guess, want to chase that fame or chase that thing, you know what I mean? Like, I've just been enjoying, like, as sad, as weird as it is, just sitting at home and spending time with my kids, to be honest. Like, that's my happy place when I'm not on the island.
Well, that is lovely. But I think that we were all hoping that you would be on the Champions Tribe on Australian Survivor Season 3. Why are you not out there on the island?
Oh, can you imagine doing it back to – do you know what? It would be weird. It'd be crazy doing it back to back, you know, like, but far out, like, yeah, you know what I mean? If you got to ask, you'd definitely think about it, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we'd love to obviously have you back on the show. Surely it'll happen again at some point. But yeah, I guess back-to-back would be tough. Like, there'd be a pretty big target on you. So maybe for the best, you'll come back in, like, a couple of years and maybe you'll have a better run of it than a chance you'd have here.
Yeah. Oh, look, you never know. Like, the thing is, you go back-to-back or, you know, even, you know, people are saying, oh, he's going to – he would have trouble going in the game again. But I actually don't think so, to be honest. Like, I think one of the huge parts of the game is the social aspect. And if you're able to get along with people, which I feel like I can do that pretty well in life in general, like, you know, like, and if you're able to get along with people, it'd be the same aspect if you started a new game. You know, people might go, oh, yeah, he's conniving or this and that. But I'll still hold the truth that I still am loyal. Like, I'm not – I backstab people or whatever, but I still was loyal to the people that I actually chose completely to be loyal to, you know. So,
yeah,
it's definitely hard, you know.
That's definitely a big question coming up now in New Zealand Survivor, as everyone's getting ready to vote for people and they might not vote for some people that voted them out and betrayed them. So we're definitely going to have to talk about that.
Yeah.
How have you thought, like, have you liked the season overall that you've seen from Survivor New Zealand?
I think it's been great, to be honest. I actually think, you know, there's, like, in every season, there's a few duds, but that don't want to play the game or, you know, get a bit butthurt when someone backstabs them or whatever. But, like, you got to pick up the pieces and go again, you know. Like, if something doesn't work out, you don't sit there and sulk, you know. You get up and have another crack at getting the person that you want out or whatever. So then you can kind of say, well, I got them out, you know. Like, that was my play.
Mm.
But, like, in the game and in probably every season, there's always the few that go on the island. They're like, oh, you backstabbed me. Like, I can't believe you broke my trust. Like, it's kind of like, damn, you just – what show did you think you were going on?
I know. Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Married at First Sight or something. Like you definitely, you need to know that as soon as you get out there, your best mate's going to backstab you. Yeah, your worst enemy's going to be your friend at some stage, you know? Like you kind of have to. So when you see people that get a bit butthurt about it, it's like, man, like.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because I know you were someone who was quite new to watching the show when you went on, right? But yeah. You'd done a bit of studying. You watched the Tony Vlacos videos, which was probably the best thing you could do. But someone like Tessa hadn't seen anything. But where I feel like you grasped it really intuitively and got it really quickly, I have some examples of how I feel like Tessa, who very well may win the season and is in the final three, still doesn't quite get it 39 days in.
Oh, exactly. And do you know what? And, you know, if she wins it, it's going to be down to her social game, you know, and the way where she's the pretty blonde hair, and she's obviously got a really nice personality when you sit down and have a good chat to her, and you know what, like, and her morals in the game transition to the morals outside the game, where she kind of like, you know, in normal life you don't like it when someone backstabs you. In normal life you kind of like, well, fuck you, you know what I mean? But, and because she has transitioned that into the game, people are going to like her when the game's finished because they're the morals he has. But rating it on the game, on how you played the game and really what you can say is yours, well, I feel like she's only really started playing well since Adam's kind of screwed her, you know what I mean? Mm. So since then, she's finally got a bit of sass about her. She's like, you know, she's kind of, you know, like when she was holding onto that thing like a sloth, you know, then they got to hold on upside down and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when she, like they were saying about voting her out, you know, she kind of gives it back and she's kind of a bit like, screw you, you know, and I like that. Like she's finally like, you know, stuff everyone. Like I don't need you to get to the end. So I reckon she's going to have a fucking great final tribal speech, because I feel like girls can put it together pretty well and guys just talk shit.
Okay, well, we'll definitely see, and I definitely have a lot to say as well about her social game. And also she's won a couple of very impressive immunities, but also has been left out of the vote the last two times, this time in historic fashion. No person who's ever won immunity at the final four has been blindsided like this ever. Some people have been blindsided that, like Pete in your season, he thought that Jericho was going home, but actually Jericho went to Fire and then his candidate and Michelle went home. But no one has ever in the history of Survivor been blindsided like this. There's never been a 2-1-1 vote at the final four ever. So it was bad from Tessa.
And she kind of mentions it herself and saying, you're still blindsiding me, you know? And from the, you know, like, oh, it's so hard to give someone the money when they've constantly said, you've blindsided me after blindside to the point where you're not knowing what's going on in the game. But the only thing which kind of like they're watching the show now, probably already they've already voted. So if they are watching now, they're not actually seeing the little small details maybe of her not completely knowing anything about the game. So when she's patting that lizard, you know, you're not seeing that until now or whatever. You're not like, far out. She was fully unaware of what was happening at all at so many stages. And even with the fight in it, it was like, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, it was no, well, I'm going to throw a few people under the bus like what Adam did, you know, in a way. Or it was just like, well, I'm about to lay down and die. You know what I mean? So just you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely, she's had a pretty bad arc. But it's a social game. I still feel like everyone's going to want to really just go, well, we like her, so I'm going to give my money to her. You know what I mean?
Well, I want to talk about Tessa's social game because this is something that's come up a lot over the last week, because I think that when there's someone who's like very strategic like Elisa and someone who's very much not strategic like a Tess, we kind of look at it like it's this duality, like Lisa must not be social and Tess must be very social if she's not strategic. But the thing is Tessa's social game as good as everyone's saying? Is she the social queen? Because, I mean, she does seem very congenial. She seems like a nice person for sure. But then I look at, like, her relationships in the game. She's good with her people, and I think she's got some locks on those jury. Adam loves her. Some of those boys she had at the tight five, she had them wrapped around her finger. She bonded really tightly with Renee, for sure, and those are great relationships. She can own that, for sure. But she wasn't like this, you know, Wendell or Jeremy or some of the best social players in the game, even like yourself, Luke, who can connect with everyone. You know, she had a really bad relationship with Keisha, with Dylan. She couldn't really work with Tara. Tara literally sacrificed herself here, you know, and blindsided tested to take away power from her here. So I don't know if she's the social queen that everyone's saying. I think she has a good social game and she's good with her people, but is it general?
No, I'm just comparing him to the three, you know, so I'm not actually comparing him to the 12 people or the 24 people, or whatever, that played the game. I'm just comparing her social side to, you know, she'd probably be a pleasure to be around. Like she's not like, you know, probably the life of the party. She's not the, you know what I mean? She's just a, I think would be a very down to earth person and easy to talk to. So having that over, like say Dave, which is constantly being ridiculed by a lot of people. And then now his best mate wants to throw him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pretty much ruined his game. Like if Dave gets any votes, I'll be very surprised. So then you got Lisa. And look, it's definitely going to be a tough one.
Lisa's been described though as having an amazing social game, and that's why she's been able to make the move. They've called her like the social center. So I think she does have a good social game, but it's the fact that people might be mad at her because she's actually made the moves.
It looks like a bitter cast. Like the cast looks bitter, you know. There is the majority of them, they obviously, you know, they're fair enough or whatever, but I still feel like they're a little bit bitter, you know.
Yeah.
Not all, but there's a couple of them.
It's because Adam is like the foreman of the jury and he's so bitter he might be like leading the whole charge.
Yeah, well, I think what I would do is, so with Adam, he was going to vote for Tess. Like whether it, Tess, you know, say for instance, didn't play the Tara game all the way again, you're going to vote for Tess because that's your girl.
No, that's fair. Very fair.
Yeah. So whether Tess pretty much did anything wrong, it really doesn't. He's not even going to vote for her, irrelevant to the game or to anything. I think he's just a loyal friend. So when all of a sudden, you know, Adam hears about the situation with the Matt and Dave, like he's just going to thrash the point as in screw Lisa. She put all yous on the jury. Screw fucking Dave and them. They cheated. Tess is the only one that got there on her own will, and she's a good person. So it's going to be, and you know what? And those things are going to sit in your head to be like, well, they nearly will feel bad going, well, I can't give it to a cheater. And, I'm a little bit bitter, so I'm not going to give it to her. So it's, fuck, she's in a good run for the actual title, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree. But, I love this episode. I thought I was actually kind of a bit worried. You know, a final four with an individual episode might be a bit boring. It was not boring. It was super entertaining. I'm very excited to see where it goes. But I don't know how we've been talking this whole time without mentioning someone who was the hero of the entire episode, and that was Tara. Because for me, this was Tara's coming out party, finally. It was 14 episodes in. She did get voted out. She voted out herself, but this was Tara's episode.
Oh, it was hilarious. Like, it was hilarious. Like, because it finally showed that she wanted to do a move.
Yeah.
Well, she was lying in the hammock, and she's like, Dave, come over here. And she's like, what we're going to do is this. And then it was just like, oh, my God. Like.
Yeah, well, I think that this was amazing. It made so much sense of Tara's arc because the whole time the editors have had so much fun with her and been pretty mean. Yeah. Like they've shown her trying to make moves and failing. They've shown that she that she shouldn't be taking credit for some moves. But finally, this was her move. It didn't fail. She should take credit for it. And they completely showed us that it was her move, which I absolutely love. They went out of their way to affirm her in what was finally her big move. Unfortunately, that move was, you know, laying down her sword and voting herself out. But she blindsided the hell out of Tess.
Yeah. Yeah. I just do it. But like, do you really get credit for voting yourself out?
Yeah, and if it's in such an epic way, I think so.
I'm completely opposite. I think it's like, why would you get to the point you are and then go, I give up, like in a way, by doing a move to say, I think the whole, like everyone's choice on what they did that night was crazy.
Yeah. I want to talk about Letha and Dave as well, because I didn't agree with them doing it. But
yeah, I think it's a completely wrong move by majority of the people, probably only other than Lisa.
I actually disagreed with it on Lisa's behalf as well. But to just stay on Tara for a little bit, I agree. Okay, so she quit that, or she surrendered, or whatever you want to call it. That does look bad. And I do wish that we'd heard a little bit from her in the jury villa, or in some way where she says, I knew I couldn't win, so I laid down my sword. But I think she thinks she had a shot. Like, she keeps talking about how she didn't need the money and would rather give it to Dave and Letha. So I would have appreciated that self-awareness. But I love that she and Letha are very much like opposite ends of the spectrum of the like mother type figure. You know, Letha's a badass. Yeah. She's like the strategic killer queen. And Tara has been the maternal motherly figure who did like the soft, caring, nurturing thing here and you know, ended her game for her friends. And Survivor is an emotional, personal game. It's not just a chess game. So yeah, people might have their reasons for doing things like that. I still thought it was amazing, but my favorite part about it was that it just made sense of Tara as a character for me. I think I can sum it all up in this exchange that she had at tribal council, where Matt Chisholm says to her, you said Dave was deserving of the final three, so should it be you or Letha going home? And she says, maybe, maybe not. And then Matt Chisholm says, you're the only two options. And she just says, that's correct. Now, I was like, this person's an idiot. That makes no sense. Why is she working with Dave and Letha? That doesn't make any sense. But it did make sense. I was the idiot, you know? Tara's 10 steps ahead of me. She's playing 4D chess in a way I can't even imagine. I thought I knew. I thought I knew everything, and that Tara was this idiot and I didn't know what she was doing. Really, I didn't know anything. She had one over on me. Her plan worked out. And yes, she did quit. That's sad. But it was finally her move. I thought it was awesome.
But do you feel like there's still a little bit of percentage where she actually thought that she was still going to the final three? Like, just a hint there to say, well, you know, like, I don't, that's my excuse, and yet I don't mind giving it to these two. But look, like, I still wouldn't mind going, like, you know what I mean? To really go, no, I want to give it to these guys. Do you really think that that's deep down what she really, really wanted?
I mean,
like, I'm very skeptical of that. It's like sometimes when some, like, when things don't go your way, you come up with, like, or, like, I still feel like I just really, I'm still not buying the fact that she really 100% wanted to go out and hand it to someone else.
Well, you know? Maybe you're saying, like, she was playing, like, 6D chess. So she's saying, like, okay, I'm quitting so as not to quit, you know, the old Zayn Knight move. That would be, that, I think that's beyond what anyone could do. But who knows with Tara? She's a bit of an enigma.
I'm still because what, like, Tara's a tough one because it's like, look, when she's in, like, when she's doing challenges, she walks around like she's, you know, it's Sunday morning and you've just got up out of bed. Like, she's got no go in her at all, like, to do anything. And so when I see her in challenges and then the whole game, I'm just like, damn, you just don't really, you're not giving it a crack, are you? You know, that's where I really am, like, I don't know, it's hard to like get on the Tara train at all.
I wasn't on board. I wasn't on board until this move because I thought, you know what? You either quit a hero or you live long enough to see yourself get zero votes at the final tribal council. And whether she thought she was going to lose or not, Tara was headed for a brutal final tribal council. I don't think there was a vote coming her way. So this is way better. She finally got to make her move. I'm impressed with it. And she doesn't have to go and have that final tribal council experience. It's better.
Wasn't she on the last tribal saying, what was she on the last tribal saying, what was she saying? Something about her moves and I don't want to take people to the end and stuff. So how do you just go within 4 days of saying, I've been playing a great game, I don't want to take people to the end, to next minute making a move where you vote yourself out and then say, well, I actually did it like on purpose and I want to give it to other people. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, you're off your head. Are you off your head? You just want to give it up. I'm telling you right now, there's not a person around that just want to give it up. And then when she starts crying in the jury villa going, oh, I gave it to these guys and he said, like, oh, I thought you wanted to be like my son. And and then I'm thinking, like, he blindsided you again. I think it's hilarious.
That was really funny.
You've just been fucking, you've just lost $250,000. And I don't care what anyone says, when you're out there and you're about to go, you could have went home with 250. If she got to the end with, say, Dave and or whatever and did, like, you know, people have won a game when they've done enough. Like Christy
yeah, on the stage. Comes
yeah, well, she, I mean, like she, you could say that, well, she didn't play the best game, but she won.
Yeah.
So, like, until you get to that final tribal and someone starts talking shit at the end, you can't sit there and say that money's not yours. So, like, if you made it to final three, everyone finds out Dave cheated, and then Tessa throws everyone under the bus, boom, you win the money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's to sit there and just hand that over and say, well, I did hand the 250 over to the other people, I'm still like, well, that's great, but that's not a good move. Like, I just don't think it's a good move. So
it's not a good move. It's a hilarious move. And, and she reclaims power. I don't think there's any way she could have won, but I guess if Christy Bennett can win, anyone I guess can win. That is true. I just think that she was getting zero votes, so...
Oh, look, yeah, and you know what? But that's where you think, you know what I mean? And that's where the game can change. Like, everyone can sit there and go, well, then, you know who the final three is going to be like 5 episodes ago, and then it's not even them, and then you know who's going to win, and then it's not even them. Like, I feel like everyone has a puncher's chance in every aspect,
yeah.
You know? You have to look at who's sitting beside. But, look, far out, I was kind of like... flabbergasted that no one decided to like make a little move to keep her there, you know?
Yes.
Like,
yes, let's talk about Dave and Lisa, because I think we have to credit them to a degree that they fostered this relationship with Tara. You say, how can anyone quit? Well, she did it for them. Dave brings her on the reward. He cultivates that relationship. Lisa's been with her since day one. She got her with her to this final four. They deserve credit there that they had someone willing to lay down their game for them, for sure. But did they make the right move, though, in keeping Tara?
Look, if Dave or Dave, all you can say is it's not the right move if Dave and Lisa don't win.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So if they don't win, well, it's not the right move.
Right.
But if you know, one of them wins over Tess, well, it is the right move. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to sit there and say, you know, personally, I would have, like, if I was Dave or whatever, I would have stabbed Lisa in the back and gone with Tara or whatever, you know? I would have been, you know, like, tried to do something like that, but...
I completely agree, because last week I said it would be nonsensical to take Tara out at the final four, and I still think that, like, it's very nice that she offered, but that doesn't mean that you have to go with it.
No way! Like, that's the thing is, like, if Lisa... Like, that's why I say Lisa deserves a win, right? If she got there. So she got there through her relationship with Dave. Dave wants to take her there. Well, Lisa got there. And everyone knows that Lisa's the one who pulled all these moves off and was a part of all the little blindsides. And, you know, she talks like this and blinks. She blinks heaps. Have you noticed that? Like, she blinks heaps. And then she's like... She's kind of like, I feel a little bit like way I am, where when you see people cry and stuff, like, you know, you want to make sure they're right or whatever, but it doesn't make you emotional. Like, she's just kind of like, oh, like, should I pat him on the back or something? You know what I mean? It's not like, it doesn't get to her about backstabbing people. It's water off a duck's back, because she knows what she wanted, like, her game. She knows, like, she's got to play the game. So... She doesn't let it affect her emotions on backstabbing someone, you know, or which I think's like one of the best things you need. If you start getting to the point where you're playing proper American Survivor, where every single person is killers when it comes to, you know, like backstabbing and stuff, you know, you need to have that. Otherwise, you're just going to be this bawling mess constantly, just dragged along, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I love Lisa's game. I'm very worried for her in terms of next week. But my problem is with her and Dave making this move is that you're going to a 7-person jury, which is very, very small, and you probably think Tess has 3 votes sewn up. We'll talk about what we think the jury are going to do later, but... There's only a few votes there that you can get. If Tess really has 3, you need all 4. So for Lisa and Dave, Dave doesn't know that the jury knows about the friendship that's really harmed his chances. But for them to go in and be maybe splitting votes with each other rather than going to the end with like a Tara who's probably not going to get any votes, that to me is not a great move. Like, I can see from their perspective what they might have been thinking. I think Dave maybe thinks he can get the four votes. He might think he has Matt as his high school friend. He's definitely got, like, even Aaron without them knowing about the Matt thing. He probably thinks he can get Tara, considering she was super loyal to him in this episode. So I get it from him. Lisa, I think, probably is just hoping that everyone will see her game was the best. So even if people have closer friendships with the final tribal council people and the jury, she might think, okay, they'll just be really impressed with me and I'll just get the votes based on that. But I still think it's risky. It's hard with Tara. If you vote her out, then maybe, I mean, if you keep her in the game, then maybe Dave or Lisa, whoever goes out, votes for Tara, or you might, you know, Lisa comes off as even more schemey and everyone already thinks she's a snake. So it is really difficult. I just think that splitting votes between them is very, very risky. Now it might work out because now I don't think Dave's going to get a vote. So it might work out really well for Lisa. Yeah. I just think that you want to be sitting at the end with Tara, surely.
Oh, completely. And that's why I'm like, I'm just surprised. Well, Lisa should have pulled the old Dave, I reckon, you know, because if all of a sudden, if, you know, like, it just kills me. Like, even when Tara's sitting there with Tess at the end and she's like, I want to know who you vote. And she's like, oh, I'm not vote. I won't vote Dave, but I'll vote thing. I'm thinking, brother, why don't you just sit there and say, I'll vote with whoever you want so I can get to the final three, you know? Like, but she didn't. So with the now, it's kind of like, I feel like Lisa should have, I just wish between Lisa or Dave, they backstabbed each other. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And
whoever
did that would have won. You know?
Well, not Dave now, but ideally, yes.
Yeah, they would have won that last move. Yeah. I'd have been like, boom, got you. Dave did the full wink. So he did the full wink like he's doing a backstab. And next minute, if Lisa backstabbed Dave for one more time, she would have been like, look, respect the game. I backstabbed everyone. Like, you're not going to pull on the back seat and go, well, you know, I'm like better. Like, you know, I didn't want to backstab everyone. You'd be like, look, you know, I just had to get.
I'm a badass.
That's what it is. Like, I had it, you know what I mean? Everyone thought I was good old Lisa, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was Lisa.
I'm impressed that they could get someone who would want to quit for them. I'm impressed that they both made it through when they're bigger threats, particularly Lisa. But I still think even if someone's willing to quit for you, you keep her in the game against her own will. You blindside each other. You take out someone who's going to get more votes, you would think, than Tara. And I think that would have been the right move for sure.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just quit, you know, Tara, just quit then. You know what I mean? If you want it out, don't even let it go to a vote. If you really want to give it to them, just go, I choose to take the higher road and I'll give it to these two. Because why even let it go to a vote then? You know what I mean?
Because then we would have been robbed of the 2-1-1, which we've never had before.
I
love these new vote permutations. That's why I appreciated you guys doing the 3-2-2-2, which had never been done before either.
Yeah, of course. And that's what I'm saying is, like, when someone says they want to leave for someone else, it's kind of like, well, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, well, leave then, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't – that's why I don't respect play to let yourself get voted out, you know? I kind of think, well, that's just you.
Yeah, I mean, when you phrase it like that of her just quitting, that would have been a sad state of affairs. But the 2-1-1 just seemed really epic in the moment. Yeah. It's an epic quit, if anything.
Oh, yeah, it was great TV. And do you know what? Even now, like, you know, you can sit there and say who should have and would have and could have. But in the end, I do like this final three. Like, because all of them have a different style of play. Now, I still think, because Matt, can you imagine if Matt voted for Dave to win the money?
I know. We got some questions about this, which we'll talk about later, but it's like, who is Matt going to vote for? Can you imagine how shady it would be to completely wreck his game for everyone else but then vote for Dave? I don't think there's a chance of that happening, but it would be a very, very contradictory thing to do.
Oh, can you imagine? Like, it would just show that he does not even know what he's doing, and he's, you know what I mean? Like, he's just made an emotional decision to tell everyone.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Matt and Dave thing. First, let me do a brief recap for anyone who didn't get to watch Jury Villa. As we saw on the episode, how cool that we saw Jury Villa on the episode itself, by the way. That's not something that we've ever seen before. See, a totally historic episode, but Matt tells everyone, and I loved Adam's face as well, watching the drama unfold. He was, like, hanging off every word as only Adam could do.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, and Renee, Brad, and Eve in particular seem very mad. But what you alluded to before, which was really funny, was that Tara, who had just pulled off this awesome move, is then, like, devastated because she wouldn't have laid down her game, apparently, if she'd known the truth. And she's really upset because she told Dave that she'd be happy if her son grew up to be like him. And now, obviously, like, she wouldn't. And I was like, does she not want her son to grow up to be friends with Matt? I don't know. I was confused about that. But Yeah, this was some drama at Jury Villa. Definitely go check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It was very juicy.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Yeah. That's why I was like, when she broke down crying, I was just like, far out. Like,
Luke, I'm going to admit something to you, though.
Yeah.
I shed some tears myself. I pulled a Tara. Watching the episode when Matt's telling everyone at Jury Villa and then we see the way that Dave's confronted at the final tribal council, I'm like, I'm obviously way too sensitive, but it broke my heart to watch it happen. Like, it honestly did, because it kills Dave's game, obviously. And I also just think about the position that he and Matt have been put in, and it's so, so hard.
That's exactly right. And do you know what? This is the thing. Right, when you make that decision at the start of the game and use it happens, right? There's nothing you can do about it. You didn't choose that, right? It happened. Now, there's not, so you choose to go, well, if we tell everyone, people just want to vote us off. Mm-hmm. We never, you know what I mean? So it's nearly like, okay, the beauty of it is, okay, you start off with a friendship, but you both could have been voted off at either time. You managed to make it through, and you know, Matt was going around talking about, I'm not going to let him ruin my game. And, you know, he was talking about voting him off. Now, you knew that at the end, you were thinking Dave couldn't beat you at the end. So you're happy to go to the end with Dave, you know? So it's very hypocritical, I think, of him to then now, I understand why when he's been eliminated by Dave and he thinks he's been backstabbed or whatever, well, too bad, you know what I mean? Like, he got you first, brother. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do about it. So you just sit there and go, fuck, you know, you got me. Sweet. You go back to the thing. Now, what's weighing on him heavily is him sitting probably in his room and talking to everyone, and he's got to lie to them about saying, oh, well, you know, there's no relationship there before Survivor. Now he's got to sit there and keep that secret. But it's such a hard one, because it's on his sleeve, and he wants them to make an opinion, but they aren't going to make an opinion, a very educated opinion. They are going to be like, well, screw you, you're both cheaters. You know what I mean? It's going to be such a hard one for him to now argue that, to say, well, it doesn't matter really anything you say. I feel like he could sit there and give him the best excuse and the best reasoning, and it will still be like, okay, cool, thanks for that. You still cheated, you know?
Dave should just sit there and be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, we're not friends. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Exactly how Matt put it. He could have, you know, my oldest, dearest friend, he could have just said, look, we were mates, you know, back in the day. We haven't seen each other for years. We did kind of have this little bit of a bond, you know? Yeah, it's definitely like, if you really want to tell everyone, it's such an ugly one. But I really still think Dave has played a great game, considering, like,
yeah,
who cares that he's lied to Tara and said, yeah, like, you know, hasn't told her about that, or hasn't, you know, he didn't play, he could have got voted out a few times, and he held onto that idol, you know, and wore it like through some tough tribals.
Yeah.
He needs recognition for that.
I completely agree. Like, I think that Dave's game has been devalued beyond what it is. Like, he really did do stuff. Like, he ruled the roost pre-merge. He chose to save Matt at the swap as a move so Matt could help him, and that worked. So good job on that. Exactly. Then he took out the biggest threat in the game. He took out Matt, and then he got himself through the, you know, final five and the final four without Matt being there, based on the relationships that he had made with Lisa and Tara, and he completely earned that. But the thing is that Matt's very happy. I will defend Matt in a little bit, in a little way, and I'll also criticize him. But he's very happy for everyone to think Dave did nothing. He's like, oh, I dragged Dave. Well, Dave helped you too in the pre-merge. Dave helped you through two votes. You helped Dave through a few in the merge too, but he doesn't make it feel as even as I think it is. It's very much like Matt dragged Dave and Dave did nothing and his whole game now is worthless, when I just don't think that that's true.
Just because you just because you dob on Dave, it does not make you any less liable than Dave. You should be sitting in Jury Villa getting fucking attacked by the rest of those fucking people, just the same as they're going to attack him in front of everyone at Tribal, because you did the exact same thing as Dave, just you got eliminated first and he continued on. And now he could have got eliminated straight after you got out, but he hasn't. He's navigated his way to the end. And didn't he go – he's still got an idol in his pocket as well?
Yeah. Well, so he gets, yeah, he did. Yeah, but he didn't show that to the jury, which I thought was really weird.
Exactly. What I thought was a bit weird as well, I'd be bringing it out in tribal and going, look, this is what I still got around my neck too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's so one-sided, a jury villa, and it's very hard that Dave can't defend himself because he's not there. He's going to get blindsided with it at the final tribal council. Oh. It's hard because there's so much cognitive dissonance between these jurors because they're like, okay, Dave's a useless player. He didn't do anything. But then they're like, oh, he also blindsided his best friend, which should be a more impressive move knowing that they're friends. But then they're like, oh, well, he's a horrible person. So which one is it? Is he a horrible person because he played too hard, or did he not play at all because he got carried? It can't be really both.
So when I got to the end on Survivor, right, is I got eliminated. Now, when the vote was coming for me, Jericho didn't tell me that I was getting eliminated.
He
right?
didn't.
Now,
oh, my God, my heart is broken.
Yeah, so he actually kind of, like, didn't tell me, and I realized, right, that pretty much about 10 seconds before I was about to go that I was getting eliminated. Now, he didn't tell me that everyone was gunning for me, that I'm going. He knew. He didn't vote with me, right? But I found all that out. I don't hold a grudge. I didn't care. I didn't go dobby in. The only reason why Matt has gone and told him, which I can understand from his perspective, right, is he wants the jury to make an educated decision with all the facts on who deserves the money. Now, but in that state, right, now Adam wants to vote for Tess to win, right? Now, Matt, you, by doing that, you don't want Dave to win. Now, you could have told him afterwards, because who cares? Because really, your one vote you choose to win, it doesn't matter if you've lied to the jury all in there and told them, who cares? Because you're the person who you're voting for, you want to win. So him, by doing that, you have chosen that you don't want Dave to win. You want Lisa to win or Tess to win.
Probably Lisa.
So, yeah, I think so. I think completely Lisa, because as soon as he got in, he was like, I want to vote for Lisa. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good thing as well. They tell each other, like, who they're going to vote for. Mm-hmm. Like, we were told not to, you know what I mean? So it's definitely, like, Matt has, by doing that, he has decided he wants Lisa to win. And I'm fine with Lisa winning, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, him doing that feels like he probably – you know, he doesn't have the burden of holding this big secret in, and he can talk about the actual game more freely in the jury villa, which then makes his whole experience a bit more funner, because there's nothing worse holding in a secret and then the whole thing airs and then everyone's looking at you like you're a piece of shit at the jury. But it's still, you've chosen you want Lisa to win over Dave, and that's what you've done. So you have to live with that decision when Dave confronts you. Like with Jericho not telling me it when I went, that's fine. That's the game. You know what I mean? Like he was in probably the exact same situation where he thought, where I get to the end and he doesn't want to sit next to me. The exact same as Dave with Matt. And that's fine. I don't have, like, I'm not sitting there going, oh, how can I ruin Jericho's game? Even though, in his tribal, he's calling me a fucking, what does he call me? Something like a reindeer or some shit. You know what I mean? You know? I still didn't care because it's all water off a duck's back. I can hear you, like, words and stuff can some, like, I can talk shit and it doesn't really mean, like, you know, like, it doesn't come across how I want it to be come across sometimes. And I know that that's like, how Jericho or whoever could say, like, you know, how they could put it across, but it's not how he meant it. Like, he doesn't mean it like that. And it's just verbal diarrhea sometimes, you know?
Well, I think with Matt, he's saying that it was an ethical decision and he had producers in his ear. That's what he said on Twitter. But the problem I have with the ethical part and how he thought that the jury had a right to know is, what would have been the scenario if Matt was in the final three and Dave was at jury villa, or Dave was even sitting next to him? Then the jury wouldn't have known. So how come they promised each other and that they weren't going to tell anyone? And then, you know, Matt was blindsided. So he's personally betrayed. So he tells them. But if it was really an ethical thing, then would they have made that decision pre-betrayal? I don't think so. Like, if it was ethical, wouldn't you be telling them regardless? You'd be like, well, we have to tell them if we get to the final three. But you're not going to make that personal decision. Literally no one would choose to do that and tank their entire game just for the sake of ethics. So for him to decide on Dave's behalf that it's ethical that the jury know, where it wouldn't have been, you know, would have been fine for them not to know if he was in the final three, that's the hypocrisy of it. And that's the real problem that I have with it. And I think he's also, he's just very willing to He's not even defending Dave. Like, you, if you're going to tell them that, at least be like, he helped me as well. I was planning on cutting him, so he's not such a horrible person. Like, he had plans as well not to go to the final three with Dave. But they're all sitting there calling Dave, you know, a bad person for cutting his best friend. And Matt, as what we've seen, hasn't defended it. And that's also problematic for me.
The only thing, but, is, like, it's hard because they might not show you that he's has defended Dave to some degree. You know, like, he could have said, look, like, you know, I need to, you know, they cut out little clips and they kind of put them together, but they don't show you him probably going, look, like, he did help me at this stage and he did do this and he did do that. So he actually might, as bad as him throwing him under the bus, it's more for his consciousness. Like, you know, he's like, you know, he's him to finally get it off his chest and enjoy the rest of the game. But damn, son, you've like, you like, and as well, Dave, right? He should have something in him when he's sitting there going, if he's thrown me under the bus, I need to be able to like explain myself well at tribal, you know? So he has to prepare for that, you know? And if he hasn't, well, you know, that's unfortunate for you, because you know there's that big dark cloud hanging over your head and you need to prepare for that to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is why I think Dave was in a pretty horrible position, you know, in the game, having Matt next to him that you wouldn't want to sit next to. But you do know that when you vote someone out and they go to Jury Villa, they can spill your secrets, they can work against you. Usually it's not such a big secret. Usually someone doesn't have so much dirt on you that they can use against you. But that does happen if you betray someone. That's the nature of Survivor. So that he should know that that is a possibility. We've just praised his game. He did make moves. He did keep that idol the whole time. I know that Matt was in his ear, but Matt could have been blindsiding him. Matt could have been being blindsided himself. So that's still impressive. I hope that he can still rally if he's blindsided to talk about those moves.
Yeah, the problem, like, it's weird. Like, you know, you have a situation like this, and it's a fucking huge situation. You know, it is huge to say, well, use your mates throughout the game, and use constantly, you know, looked out for each other, and you're on different tribes as well. So it's kind of, I don't know. Like, but then you'd have then when you finally find that out right near the end, damn, it doesn't give you much time to process it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's, and now like, they're so mad and they have to vote tomorrow. Like, they're all going to be pretty, pretty angry about it.
Wild. Like, time heals wounds, you know? And, like, when you have certain issues, like, there was the biggest one on our one as well with Tara getting voted out first and then continuing the game. Mm. Now, that was huge, and that played a part in the whole game at the end. Now, imagine finding that out 2 days before tribal and you didn't know that Tara had actually been voted out of the game and then got back in.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, well, what, you know, like, why the fuck do you get two shots? You know, so it's that's where it's so hard to process that in 2 days.
Yeah.
Where when people have got time to process it, and if people found out, say, day 10 or whatever, then, and they made it to where they did, well, then they've had the whole game to process it. So there's nothing that could go, well, now it's a big surprise because you all knew about it, you know?
Mm.
So it's such...
Yeah, I also think that just the way that the game came down, it's like, we said Dave saved Matt, but the problem was Dave saved Matt over pre-jurors like Dylan and Josh, who aren't there casting their vote. They might be more mad at Matt. I think one of the reasons everyone's more mad at Dave is that all of the votes in the merge happen to be Dave versus someone else. So Brad, yeah, Renee, Eve are all looking at it like, well, if it was me versus him, then that's not really fair. And they're all incredibly mad. Even Eve, who was a very close friend of Dave. So I think that's the problem. But one thing that really irks me personally is that I also feel like it takes away all the personal accountability from all those jurors, because they're like, oh, it was me versus him. Like, I think they all think they all would have won if it weren't for this friendship, and they don't blame it on parts of their own game. You know what? Those threats, like Brad, for example, were going to be taken out regardless. They had to be taken out at that time. Plus, Dave still had an idol. So, you know, he was going to do okay. I don't know if he would have got to this point, but he did have some options without Matt. And they as well had flaws in their game that for every single person, whether they were too much of a threat or they were too erratic or they didn't have the connections, got them voted out too. And that's something that the jurors aren't going to think about when they're told this and they have to vote the next day. They're like, oh, this ruined my entire game. I'd be the winner. This is the problem. And yeah, it's all Dave's fault. Now they have to vote.
Yeah, it's such a hard one. And it'd be like, really, that's why each person's vote it's going to be down to what, where, and probably who they spoke to the most in the game and how they got on with each person, which that's why Tessa now has such a great chance, I think, to like take it out as well.
Yeah. And but just a little bit more of this advantage, and then we have to talk about Tess. But have you been seeing it as an advantage? Because one of my hottest takes, I think, on the podcast, and I do get people who message me agreeing with me, and then I get people who message me disagreeing, is that I said it wasn't a pure advantage. I said it was a twist with inherent advantages and disadvantages. And I'm amazed that people are still saying it was a pure advantage when it's now the reason that Matt, or a big part of the reason, that Matt and Dave lose the game. So it's crazy that people still think this was like only a good thing. In my mind, it's like, yes, it'll carry you further through a pre-merge, you know, through a shaky swap, through a merge where you might be in the minority, and also you'll get intel on the other side. That's really good. But also, you might sink your winner's chances. Like, what's the point of getting further if it makes it harder for you to actually win?
I think that one of the big answers to that is you want to find out what Eve is thinking about Dave, because when you hear about that from one of your closest friends in the game, is her opinion and what she has to probably say, considering and to fight for him in the you know what I mean, is definitely going to have a part with the rest of them to be like, well, I know he's all, but she'd be able to explain probably little bits of his game to go,
he's quite mad though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if she's wild, he's fucked.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I honestly, like, my heart goes out to Matt and Dave. I mean, honestly, Survivor's traumatic enough. I mean, I've not played, but I assume it's very traumatic. And they've had a harder situation than anyone we've ever seen, that they got put in a situation. They had to keep it a secret. They had to manage it. They had to have these really personal betrayals. It was so hard and emotional. Like, the fact that these two guys got put in the situation, now to get trashed by ex-contestants, by, you know, on social media and whatever, for being in this position, for doing what they've done, whether it's Matt telling the jury, Dave voting out Matt, them just even having an advantage that they didn't even choose to have, and everyone was so angry at it, and I just, my heart actually breaks for them that they're in this position, both of them, for what they've had to go through, that Matt's at jury villa, still having to lie until now, or having to wrestle with these ethical decisions. He shouldn't have to decide what the ethics of the jury are. He shouldn't have production in his ear. Dave, you know, he's going to get trashed at tribal council, so it's a bad run.
Do you know, the thing is like, when Matt did get eliminated, Dave probably maybe should have brought it up in tribal or something and been like, do you know what? I've got a secret. Now, you know what I mean? Got ahead of the actual story, because what he's done now is Matt's like screwed. He's screwed him. Like, he's absolutely screwed him.
Yeah, the way that Matt's game ended, because he trusted Dave too much, you know, and that's why he didn't play his idol. And I think right back at it, Dave's game is now screwed, because he trusted Matt too much. If he thought that Matt was going to go there and tell everyone, he might have got ahead of it. But he really seemed to believe that he wouldn't tell anyone, and that's why he didn't do it. So he trusted Matt too much. Now he's been blindsided right back.
Yeah, I don't know. It's two little mates that have helped each other get each other so far in the game, and now unraveled
this game, destroyed it for each other.
Yeah, but you know, both of them got to a point in the game which is pretty respectable, and you know, Matt played a pretty impressive game, and Dave has too. So the best thing, even if they don't win, considering they don't win, they can both be proud of actually both playing a pretty good game, considering, even though you've got this little advantage, it's still, you know, you still haven't, like, you've still used it, and not just, you've used it well, you know, you haven't just been absolute, like, numbskull and didn't know what to do with it, you know?
Yeah, they used it in a really complex way. Matt, from the get-go, chose not to have Dave on his tribe. That was a complicated decision that they then had to manage. Dave chose to keep Matt in. That was a complicated decision that they then had to manage. So they did do stuff with it, but yeah, my heart breaks for them. I shed some tears. I hope they're okay. I saw on Instagram that they are still friends. That's what's important. That's what we like to hear here. So my heart goes out to them. Stop giving them hate, people.
They'll both be like so good to each other, like around to each other. But I feel like, well, as soon as they get a couple of drinks in and they're by themselves, they're going to be like, fuck you, man. Fuck you, man. And then it'll be the same as like, oh, it'll be fucking hilarious.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Tessa here, who has now been blindsided at 5 of the last 6 votes since Brad was voted out. The only time she's voted correctly has been the unanimous vote against Eve, which isn't a great record. It should be impossible to be blindsided, really, when you have immunity at the final 4, but she's the first person in history to be totally blindsided here by every person in the game, including the person who goes home. What did you think of Tessa?
It's funny. Like, it's,
it is kind of funny.
Kind of hilarious because, she's got that big green immunity necklace, and she's able to kind of maybe dictate where she wanted to, make the vote happen. And then to get blindsided, it's kind of like, damn, you're just getting burped everywhere. But look,
there's a couple of things in this episode I want to talk about with Tessa that kind of annoyed me. I need to pay attention to it. So, she says in one confessional that she's in the final 3 not because she had an alliance or someone helped her here. This pains me because it's like, you're probably going to win. It's day 38 or whatever. Surely you know by now. Surely you understand the game enough to know that alliances aren't helping you there. That's kind of like the point. At least that's an incredibly viable strategy of getting to the end, not just winning your way to the end by having no friends because you can't work with anyone. So this really pained me.
Yeah, it is. You could sit there and say there's close to 4 or 5 votes or whatever where she had absolutely no idea what's going on. And then to, exactly say, she does have, I suppose, a point to say, well, I did get here, without any help. But the help was you just didn't get voted out. You know what I mean? Didn't have a clue really what was going on. I love it when people know what's going on. So if you get major points, if every single vote, you have a good idea where the votes are going, you vote. I don't sit there and say you have to vote with the majority because you could still put your, you could have a big push and you could win by one vote. And if it's, but yeah, it was pretty, I think it was pretty average.
Yeah, it all comes down to what you value in the game. Like, I personally obviously value the strategy side of it. So the fact that she's voted incorrectly at 5 of the last 6 tribal councils, that worries me personally. Another thing I don't appreciate is the sanctimony. Like, she's still talking in tribal council about how honest she's been. She's rolling her eyes and pointing to herself when Lisa says that you can't play the game honestly. I'm like, I don't know if she sees the difference between her and Lisa and the fact that Lisa's had to lie by making moves in the post-merge. Tess hasn't been able to make those moves, so she hasn't had to lie. And by the way, she was in control in the first half of the game for sure. She was in a dominant alliance who were voting people out. So that was lying. Like, it's lying when you blindside Keisha and Liam. So does that not count as lying when those people aren't deemed important? I don't really understand. So the sanctimony there was annoying to me. But I will commend her for obviously staying up on the poll for 80 minutes and winning it there when she needed to. And they definitely gave her this like swelling underdog edit if there ever was one.
She's done great in the last 2 challenges when she had to use her toes or whatever to hold up on that thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, how funny was Adam? But he had just slid straight down.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about who we think is going to win the game. I actually think that this worked out. I don't think she wanted Tara to go at all, but I do think that it will work out for her because I think she has a really good shot now at maybe at a 3-2-2. Maybe that's ruined because now people won't vote for Dave. If anything, that probably saved it. But it should have kind of worked out that Lisa and Dave made a move against their best interests, voted against Tara and took each other to the end, and she could have maybe won a 3-2-2 in the jury. So it's funny. It's like things shouldn't work out for her. Like, she's definitely not trying to make people like Adam go, people like Brad go, but then they sit on the jury for her and they're not taking votes from her next to her at final tribal council. And it's worked out really well for her.
Oh, it's luck,
Yeah, it's a lot of luck.
Yeah, absolute bullshit amount of luck. if you look at the last two challenges, exactly right. They could have been, obviously challenges where weight plays an advantage or height plays an advantage, but there are 2 challenges where probably the lighter you are, the better you can do at them, because you need to hold yourself up. And look, she beat Dave out to play. But if she doesn't know about the Dave and Matt situation, so how do you play that one off where I think sitting next to Dave at the end, like what she wanted. She didn't want to sit next to Dave at the end. So ideally, if she maybe got Dave out at the end, you'd be like, well, that was it. You've won two immunities and you've got your final outcome, what you wanted, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was also a weird choice that she was going for Dave over Lisa, I thought.
Oh, yeah, completely. And to find out that Dave, that's what I'm saying. If she got Lisa out, she probably wins because everyone finds out Dave's a cheat. And then all of a sudden, Tara's a goat, you know what I mean? And yeah. Then she wins.
But she wasn't even going for Lisa, and she didn't even execute her plan, so that wasn't going to happen.
Oh, exactly. So there was another flaw. So you get blindsided. I feel like you've chosen the wrong person to try to get out. You didn't get the right person out. You know, you have been quite – but I'm because the jury could be very bitter about Lisa, she wins it. So – If you respect the game, if you can look past the annoying facts of everything, Lisa on the stats wins. You know, stats like most blind sides choosing the right, being on the right side majority, knowing what's going on, she wins every day of the week. The thing with the people when you are a part of the vote that you get out. You know, if you look at all the votes, right, in the Survivor thing, there's a very large percentage, right, that when people got eliminated, right, they would say, who do you want to win at the end? And a lot of people, even though I was a part of them getting out, they always say, Luke, I want him to win because, like, I was managing the social side of it. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, it could be a perfect storm for Tess because she has on one side of her Lisa, and we know that juries don't like when older women make moves, and there's a whole older woman syndrome going on. And then there's a whole never-before-happened thing with Matt and Dave, and also she does have some key relationships on the jury who I think are voting for her no matter what. This could be her perfect storm to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And that's where, look, if I had to put it down to it, Tess has a flip of a coin on what gets said that night. And I feel like she hopefully will come out with that sass and that bit of fight in her. And she'll be like, I haven't burnt any of yous. If I was willing to go down with the choices I made and I was sticking loyal to the people that I wanted to stick loyal to. Now, no, like, you know what I mean? So I chose the righteous path and that was the path I chose. I didn't change from that. Path and if it led me to me being eliminated, I was happy to wear that on my sleeve. But I've managed to get here and not change my morals and not be a flippity flopper or whatever the hell I want to say. But I made it here, you know, and that was irrelevant of me backstabbing anyone. And so that's what I said from the start. So that's the game I played. I hope you can respect that. Yeah. Whether it's the greatest game in the world, not at all, but she has to hold strong to that. And I feel like she could hopefully maybe throw Lisa under the bus and be like, you said this, you said that, you lied to him, you did this. You know, and if people are real bitter about it, they're going to sit there and go, well, yeah, fuck you, Lisa.
Well, I do think that if there's anything, any jury that is going to respond to that type of argument, it's this jury, even though I don't think she's been totally honest. As I've said, they were blindsided. You know, if everyone's going to be like, I played the moral game and whatever, I think that this jury could like that from her. So maybe let's go through the jurors and see who we think is going to vote for who, because we have the very unique position of actually having a whole week to talk about it before the final tribal council and knowing who's going to be there. Okay, we'll just go down the list. We'll do it in order, not like how Matt Chisholm tends to call out the jurors nowadays. Aaron, for me, I think he's the one who could still vote for Dave simply out of friendship, because I haven't seen him be mad about the math thing. But I also do think he could go for Lisa if he knows that Dave is a lost cause. This is something Donathan did where he didn't vote for Laurel in Ghost Island because he knew that like that would be a wasted vote and it might be really close. So I think he's Dave or Lisa. He did say he wants to see big moves. Who do you think he's going to be going for?
Yeah. I reckon he will vote for Lisa.
Okay, so we're putting him down as a Lisa. Let's see if we can get it right. Let's see. Brad, yeah. To me, is a lock for Tess. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the blonde hair and the Tess. I think that he's going to go for Tess because you know, when he's talking to Aaron about you looked him in the eye and shook his hand and said that, he's all about that loyalty and stuff like
he
that.
He loves the sanctimony for sure.
Yeah. So I was like, and that I like, yeah, I'm completely the opposite.
Yeah.
So,
same.
I did it to Kent. I don't know if you know in my season. I shook Kent's hand. So we were locked down, no more chat. I asked to speak to Kent, and Kent was my boy, you know what I mean? Like, Kent, I actually didn't want Kent to go, but I got him to meet me down the well. I looked him in the eye. I shook his hand and gave him my fake idol and said, play this in tonight because you're going home. So...
And Luke, that's why you're my favorite contestant and I'm not rooting for Tess.
And that's why I thought it was fucking hilarious. And I was doing it to my boy, like one of my best mates out there, you know? And because I didn't care. I thought, like, it's the part of the game. You're going out there and that's what can happen to you, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's and that's where I would have probably tried to embarrass the people that are going so loyal, have complete loyalty and stuff like that. I'm trying to embarrass them because, like, that's the game you choose to play that. So I'm actually being able to take advantage of you being so loyal and using this, like, these words to my advantage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. But I do. That's what I'm saying. This is the type of jury that are going to like that. It's certainly someone like Brad and someone like Adam, who we'll talk about later. But, okay, yeah. Renee, for me, as a social connection that Tess has built and definitely deserves, I would say that Renee is a lock for Tess. Do you agree with that?
Renee is a lock for Tess. Ooh. Far out. She was a bit about loyalty as well, eh? No, actually not. I'm gonna go Renee. Oh damn, actually. Do you know what? Girl code. I think, do you know what? You're probably right.
Because she doesn't seem to love Lisa and she certainly like hates Dave, so she's never gonna vote for Dave. Okay, Eve for me is the biggest question mark. She's really mad about the Dave thing. I would have thought she was a lock for Dave, but she seems really mad about that. I don't think she's voting for him. I would say she would go Lisa because we literally saw in the show Tess saying that she couldn't connect with Eve. But also Eve seems like the kind of person, like we said, who could be angry that people betrayed her. And that's something that Lisa did to her much more than Tess did. So she's a big wild card for me. I would say Lisa, but I'm not 100% sure at all.
I'm going Dave.
You saw her in that jury villa. She was so mad.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Dave for you. And I'm saying Lisa.
The thing is, she'll have that initial pissed off, and then I feel like once he starts talking, he'll be like, listen, Eve, you know, and like explain himself and say, you know, like, what am I supposed to do, you know? Like, I actually feel like, you know, it's when you could be mad at someone and then you see him and start talking and you work it out, you know what I mean? You realize you're just initially pissed off at the time, but I actually feel like, considering, unless everyone's like, no, nah, we're all voting one way, she will still vote for Dave.
And okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Next is Matt, who I would think / hope would be Lisa, unless Adam's like well in his ear, but I have to think Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah. Sure. And then Adam, definite lock for Tess.
Adam, yeah, definitely Tess.
And then Tara, who I would have thought might have gone to Dave, but now that she's saying she doesn't want her kids to grow up like Dave, I would say now is a lock for Lisa.
Yeah, definitely a lock for Lisa.
Yeah, so basically you think that Eve could go to Dave, I think Lisa. I think that Aaron could go to Dave, you think Lisa. So basically what we think is going to happen is it's going to be a 3-3-1 with either Aaron or Eve being the one and maybe casting like a tie vote now between Lisa and Tess. And I think they both vote for Lisa. So Lisa might have the edge, maybe, just slightly the edge.
Yeah, damn.
The problem is if Aaron and Eve both go for Dave, then Tess does win in a 3-2-2, which would be exciting from a numerical standpoint, but it would also crush my heart.
Oh, so it would be, so a 3-2-1, is that what I thought it would be?
It could be, it's a 7-person jury, so it's either going to be like a 3-3-1 or a 4-3 or like a 3-2-2. I think it might be one of the more complex jury votes we've ever seen.
Oh, a 3-3-1, I'm thinking a 3-3-1.
Yeah, how cool would that be? And then I wonder if it would be like does Dave then cast a vote as the, like we saw Laurel do, or do they give it to the juror who didn't vote for one of the two tied people, so like an Eve or an Aaron? I assume they'd give it to them. And I do think they'd, all of those people, whether Dave or Eve or Aaron, would vote Lisa. So maybe I'm just willing it into existence, but I feel like Lisa could maybe have it. That's our official prediction.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I still, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. And I just can't wait till I actually see him all just blasting Dave.
Oh, poor Dave.
Do you reckon he'll cry?
I really do. I do. And I think I'll cry. Eve for me is the wild card. Like, what if Eve votes for Tess because she's impressed about the immunity wins? Like, I feel like that's something Eve could care about and that she could value in the game. And then Tess has four votes locked up.
Yeah, true. Exactly that.
Eve is a wild card.
That's the thing is when you get to tribal and people have that necklace around them, you know, it rates in certain people's heads. They're like, especially when they're say for instance, like a character that shouldn't really, like say for instance, if Lisa won immunity, just one, and had it around her neck, you'd be like, damn, you know what I mean? So it would have like maybe secured a spot at the top. So when Tess, she won it back to back, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when she walks in with it around her neck twice, it's like, damn girl, good work. You know, like that's great work, you know, because you get explained maybe, you know, you ask what the challenge was and how it all went. And when they explain it to you, they'll say, oh, yeah, we had to hang from this thing. Like, say for instance, Dave got bit on the ass, you know what I mean? And then she obviously won. And then so when you're sitting there, you're like, good work. And that plays into your favor to go, well, she's just won back-to-back. She has been on the bottom and managed to get her way to the end. You know, when you break down every little bit of the game and the moves and this and that, sometimes people don't process it that well either. They just see what's in front of them, which is you made it there. You won the thing. You made it there. You won the thing. And now you're in the final three with it around your neck. You know what I mean? So it's when you just base it on that, you're like, well, I don't need to think too much about the game because you've just had a great ending. And that's what's – and it's everyone wants the finish, you know, and that's what she's been able to do, Tess, is actually finish the game strong.
Yeah, and we've definitely seen that in Survivor history. The jury loves an underdog. They love voting against the status quo. And you don't need to have been an underdog from day one. As we said, Tess was in control for the pre-merge. She was in a pretty sweet position. You just need to be an underdog for the end of the game. The jury have a short memory, and then you can claim that story. And that's definitely the story she has now. So if she can come out there and talk about how she fought against all odds that were created for her by herself, basically, by being left out of votes and not being a part of the strategy and being beaten basically on the strategy. But let's ignore that. She's been down in the numbers. She's got herself there to the end with some luck, with some immunity wins. And if she can pitch that story, I mean, it could be a Tess win. Like conventional wisdom, I still think Tess wins, but the numbers with thinking it might be Lisa. It's very, very interesting. I honestly don't know which way it will go.
It will come down to if people want to like bet into Dave. If there's a few, you know, say for instance, as much as we're wiping Dave off, if one or two just rogue votes fly his way, it upsets the balance of Lisa and Tess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
If one person decides to, like, pull away from Tess or pull away from Lisa and vote for Dave just for some rogue vote, which it can happen because, you know, as soon as he has one of them has a bad tribal or Dave, you know, managed to explain himself really well, it upsets the balance of the 3-2-1, which all you need is that one vote. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's get into our second last Chismism section for the season, which is kind of sad. I'm going to miss it. Like, can I be doing this segment in the off season? Follow Matt Chisholm around? I don't know how, but I'm really going to miss Matt Chisholm. What have you thought about Matt Chisholm in watching the season, Luke?
Matt Chisholm, that's the fellow with long hair, eh?
No, the host.
Oh, the host. Oh, see, I don't know the host. I didn't even know his name.
How did you not know the great Matt Chisholm's name?
I'm just so bad. I never knew what his name was. I was like thinking, oh, is that what Matty's last name is, the one with the brown hair?
No.
Oh, so yeah, no, I didn't even know. So that's what it's called, the Matt Chisholm Award. Sorry, I'm a noob.
Well, what have you thought of the host of Survivor New Zealand, Matt Chisholm, besides not knowing his name, and clearly he hasn't made a huge impact on you?
He could probably be a little bit more charismatic maybe at times.
Blasphemy! How could he be more charismatic? His eyes are so wide.
Oh, look, he's just, he's just very, like, I don't know, like, if I had to rate him, like, he's probably coming third or whatever out of, I'd put, Jonathan at top, and then I'd put Props as second, and then him third.
I'm about to kick you out of this podcast, Luke. We didn't have a ton of Chismisms this week of funny stuff that Matt Chisholm did. Well, I guess the funniest part was that you didn't know who he was, but I did. You alluded to it before. Dave asked Matt Chisholm to take the sting out of his leg, and you know Chisholm wouldn't do it. So that is savage. He's pretty savage with Dave in general.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, he's like, nah, I can't help you with that. You just gotta deal with that.
You know what? He says also that if they're struggling in the arms of the challenge, they should try to let their legs go first, obviously to protect head injuries. I'm like, Survivor New Zealand, that is not a good enough way to try and protect. Like, do it over the water or something, because you can't just be putting it on the contestants to not concuss themselves. Like, that already pretty much happened to Tess earlier in the season. Let's have just, like, a little bit more OH&S rules here.
If they let go of their legs, then they go. They'll just get eliminated because there's no way they can hold their body weight up. So... yeah, he's I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge fan. Sorry.
Okay, this is the most disappointing thing I've ever found out about you, Luke. Like, I still love you, but don't make me choose between you and Matt Chisholm.
Yeah, I just don't know. How old is he?
I don't know. He's like ageless.
It will say he's ageless.
Yeah, like, I don't know. He could be 20. He could be 40. Like, I don't know.
he looks probably about 37.
Okay, well, I'm going to Wikipedia after. We'll see how right you were.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one thing I want to criticize Survivor New Zealand about, this isn't on Matchism, but this is just on the show. Last week on The Next Time On, they showed Tess falling off the pole and crying. I think every single person who watched that knew that she was going to win the challenge. Like, no one thought that was her losing the challenge. Like, why show us that? Please don't show us stuff that's really obvious anymore and ruin results for us, please, Survivor New Zealand. That's my one request. I've loved the season, this episode, this season have been amazing. Very compelling, but please don't spoil things. That's annoying.
I kind of probably just thought she maybe got a splinter or something. You know what I mean? So I didn't look that deep into the crying.
That would be like a very emotional splinter. She was like bawling.
She must have got a splinter, you know?
All right. Well, let's get to the Chizzy Awards as well, where we're going to give some points, 3 points between us. You can give 3, I'll give 3, and then we're going to see, because the Chizzy leaderboard is heating up, but I'll give my points first. I did want to give one to Tess after she won that challenge. Very impressive, 80 minutes. I wouldn't be able to be up there for even 1 second. Like, I'm incredibly impressed. And she did see through Dave a bit in their discussions. And, you know, she has that strong underdog edit, so she's finishing hard. My problem was, if it had been anything less than literally a historic blindside, as someone with immunity to get blindsided by every person in the game, never happened before, I would have given her the point. But the fact that we've never seen it happen before, that it seems so difficult to do to the person with immunity at the final four, the fact that she couldn't convince even one of them, you know, she had all the cards, she couldn't convince even one of them to vote with her. I was just like, I can't give a vote to this. So I'm going to give a vote to Lisa. Yes, I didn't agree with, you know, keeping Tara in the game, but I'm impressed that she's, you know, still been in there. She's the only one who's been able to make the big move and still not get taken out herself like Matt did, like Brad did, like Aaron did. So she gets a point. Yeah. Dave gets a point. He was the target and he managed to save himself. He really cultivated that relationship with Tara, took her on the reward. She laid down her game for him. So a point to him, even though I think he should have kept Tara in the game, just like Lisa. Yeah. And then I'm giving a point to Tara. Like, this is her second Chizzy point ever, but it was her move. She can own it. I know she quit, but it was an epic quit, and it was her move. Tara, your second Chizzy point ever right here.
All right, so you gave the 3 Chizzy points to...
Lisa, Dave, and Tara split it up 1-1-1.
Oh, you go, yeah, damn.
I know, I've never done that before, but there wasn't like one person. If I was going to give 3 to anyone, I probably would have given it to Tara, but that felt wrong, so... I just split it straight. What about you?
Look, I give 2 points to Lisa.
Okay.
Because she managed to, you know, she should have been, they should have kicked her out. there. They should have worked it out between them and realized Lisa's the best chance to win, especially with Tess, and kicked out Lisa. I feel like that's where I would have went, especially considering, you know, Adam just went and laid it all out exactly how she said. She's like, you just did the best job I could probably ever do in explaining my game, the one before. So I feel like that was your moment to get rid of her. And Tara said that I'd vote for so I'd give two to Lisa and one to Dave, because Dave, you know, obviously both of them had a big chance of going home. Now, whether they choose to pick each one, like, both of them managed to stay in. So, like, yeah, either way, they both get to the end. So that's how I split it up.
Fair enough. Well, that makes Lisa our Chizzy winner for this week with 3 points. And what's really interesting is that Lisa, there's only two people in mathematical contention still for the Chizzy. Matt's on 27 with everyone trying to chase him down. Lisa is on 22. And there's 6 points available next week. So she needs all 6 votes to win and 5 of 6 to tie with Matt. And I don't know what's going to happen if they tie. There's a lot of prizes. We might have to start cutting some prizes in half. There's a baby on offer. We might have to cut the baby in half. So it could get ugly. So Lisa chasing down Matt. The Chizzy is almost as interesting, maybe more interesting than what is happening at Final Tribal Council. They're both incredibly close race. Like, you can't split them. Amazing.
So 27-22.
So she needs 6 points to beat him, and there's 6 points on offer next week.
Oh, so really the best she can get is a draw.
No, because if she gets 5 out of 6, it'll be a draw, but if she gets 6, she'll beat him by 1 point.
Oh, sorry, you got 27-22. Okay.
So Lisa basically, if she wins the game, will probably also win the Chizzy, or she might lose both. That's brutal.
Who's ever got 6 in one session?
A lot of people. Matt did a few times. JT might have. Lisa did also when she voted out Matt. So,
And who you got on the last ep?
Okay, well, I'll announce it now, but I'll be getting back together with AK Knight from your season, Luke, to wrap up the finale. So we'll see. Lisa, my fingers are crossed for you in both the Chizzy and also actually the game of Survivor. So it's really getting down to the wire. But Luke, I just have a couple of questions from the listeners for you. Before we wrap up.
Okay.
All right. So we have Sean McSorley, who says, as a jury member, if the whole Matt/Dave Gate issue had happened on your season, is there any way you could overlook it and assess the Dave player on their game alone? Would you be considering voting for Dave if you found out the day before that he'd been friends with Matt?
For me, it doesn't affect me. I wouldn't get to the end and be like, screw Dave. He didn't tell me the truth. I'd be like, well played. And I'll be like, Matt, you're a scaly dog for dobbing him in. But I would still vote for Dave. If that's where my vote lied before finding out, it wouldn't worry me, because you know what? That's what happened. There's nothing you can do. He chose to actually play those cards as best he could. So if you get a advantage, whether it's a proper advantage or just a one like that, and it doesn't work out, well, he played it well. Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, if you get 10 idols, well, it's not your fault. Like, that's what happened, and you played it right. So, and Matt, you didn't, because you obviously got eliminated. So that's where it wouldn't affect me. Right. Wouldn't affect me at all.
Yeah. Well, if only you were on that jury. Poor Dave. John Johnson says, who would Tess have chosen to take if this was a Final Four fire-making twist? So as we know, in the US at the moment, you can't get an awesome, innovative 2-1-1 vote at the Final Four, because they don't vote at the Final Four anymore. The person who wins immunity chooses to take someone to the Final Three and the other two make fire. And so who do you think that Tess would have taken if she could take one person with her to the Final Three?
She didn't want to sit there as Dave, but... yeah, it'd be with Tara and Lisa, eh?
I think personally that she would have wanted to sit most next to Tara. Like, I think if she was choosing for two people to make fire, it would have been Lisa and Dave. And that's why this move is so incredible and badass from Tara. She strips Tess of all her power by taking away, like, you can't vote Tess out. She has a necklace. So she votes out the person that Tess wants to stay the most, which is Tara. Like, unfortunately, it was herself, but that's what she does. She disempowers her completely.
If Tara was sitting at the end, right, with no one beside her other than the stools, I would give it to the stools. You know what I mean?
Like, that's harsh. But nah, I see what you mean.
No, but I'm saying, like, as in, her whole game has been, like, not even just, it's just her enthusiasm in the challenges seem very, like, look, I'm sure she is a lovely person. She actually comes across as a really, really nice, lovely person. Like, anyone would be grateful to have her as a mum, partner, whatever. But I just, I could put probably 23 people there over her. You know what I mean? Or not 23, probably close to like 12 or 15 or something. You know what I mean? Like, I just, yeah. Kills me. It kills me. I think you could probably ask every single character on there, and I'd say they'd probably want to sit next to Tara.
Yeah.
Would that be right?
I thought so too until they didn't in this episode.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's super strange. But, you know, you only get to see what you want. So until you do your little interviews with every single person and you ask them that same question, they could all say someone completely different. But what you see on the TV, you can only base it on that, you know what I mean? And if what you see, it's kind of, you know, just let yourself go at that stage. If that's her move, I still have, like, it boggles me, you know what I mean?
Well, she was the first person in Survivor history to complete a 2-1-1. I mean, she did that. She really did that.
Yeah.
All right, well, last question. Edward Morris wants to know, who was the king or queen of the jungle this season?
The king or queen? King or the queen of the jungle. Well, the queen of the jungle is obviously Tess, because she's got that big necklace around her and she's making it. And if she takes it out, well, she's the queen of the jungle. if the king of the jungle would be... I would say Adam.
Because
I thought he was hilarious. Like, he brought mad funnies to the whole game. And I feel like, you know, like he's kind of what I'd be doing when I was trying to, like, back Jericho in the thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's backing his girl Tess.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the king of the jungle.
We definitely did get calls, people saying that they want you and Adam to be friends.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine?
I really can't.
He's hilarious.
He'd be wild. Well, Luke, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming on with me. Do we have a hashtag for people who've got to the end of the podcast? I have one option here, and I think we have to go with it. It is hashtag who is Matt Chisholm for poor Matt Chisholm. Had an urge for acknowledgement yet.
Who is Matt? Sorry, Matty, if you listen. Chip.
I think he does listen. Poor Matt.
Sorry.
Well, Luke, where can everyone find you on social media to see, you know, your thoughts about New Zealand Survivor, maybe Australian Survivor coming up, and just follow what you're doing? Where can they find you on social media?
I'm just on Insta, Luke Toki, pretty much. I throw up a bit of shit here and there. I try to make it a bit funny. Like, even with this podcast, like, I throw out a little bit in there. I'm not really. All my opinions don't really mean shit anyway, so...
Disclaimer. Everyone,
it's all just humour, you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone in New Zealand Survivors should applaud themselves, because I think this season's been pretty, pretty good, to be honest. And that's from a whole lot of people that come on the show. There's no champions, there's no contenders, you know what I mean? It's just randoms, and he's all done a pretty good job with the entertaining side. So, big pat on the back. I think everyone's done the Maori's proud.
Mm-hmm, yeah, no, it's been an awesome season, and this episode was so good, just cemented it for me as such a great season. And I think the buzz online in the community is great. And, you know, it's going to be a very, very interesting result next week, whichever way it goes, because it's really tough to pick, which is rare in Final Tribal Council. So it's exciting to watch play out. But I'll be wrapping up the season next week, as I said, with AK. So that'll be very, very fun. And just a couple of other things from me. Everyone, if you're going to be missing Survivor New Zealand because it's ending next week, binge Survivor South Africa. Follow along with me and Mike Bloom. We're recapping it every single week. This week we're doing that with Rob Cicinino as well, so that's super exciting. I've also got an Australian preseason podcast with Nick Iadanza coming out next week. Are you going to be watching Australian Survivor Season 3, Luke?
Yes, I am, actually. It's going to be tense. Hopefully it's a good season.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have been better if you were on the Champions Tribe, but hopefully it'll be good.
We need to get enough characters get together and do a Bledisloe. You know?
Yeah.
Like the old Australia versus NZ.
Yes, versus America, I think. Who would come out on top with that?
Yeah. It'd be like 100 survivors. 365 fucking days. How about that? The ultimate.
If you're volunteering to go on that, then like more power to you. But I think it would be really awesome to do an international version. There's enough great characters now from every single franchise that they could do it. You can add in South Africa as well, which has been really great. But you guys can all follow me on Twitter, on Instagram. It's at Shannon Gates. Also subscribe to the Reality TV wrap-ups feed. But otherwise, Luke, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this crazy episode with me.
Thanks, Shannon.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will see you for the finale next week. Bye.
Peace. See ya.